I'm Eric Allen for KLCC. Ursula K. Le Guin's classic 1969 science fiction novel, The Left Hand of Darkness, explores themes of a world beyond gender, as well as issues of loyalty and betrayal. In the past 5 years, she's worked with theater director John B. Schmort to collaboratively produce an evolving stage version. John Schmort directs as University Theater debuts the new version at UO's Robinson Theater November 3rd through 18th. Nice to see you, John.
Nice to see you.
Well, how would you summarize the heart of this story for those unfamiliar?
Well, I remember my first meeting with Ursula, and I won points by telling her I thought of it as a love story, first and foremost. A friendship love, but it's really about two very different people learning to pull a sledge together across a great glacier. And around the edges of that are a planet about to invent war, a type of human being that is neither male nor female, but can go either direction, depending on what happens once a month for 4 days, called Kemmer.
Science fiction is more accurately known as speculative fiction in a lot of ways. It reflects Yes. upon our own world. So particularly with the issues around gender and the lack thereof on this one particular world, how does that reflect back onto our own particular world?
Well, it's interesting. In 1969, when the book came out, Ursula told me there would have been no chance to have rid the book of gendered pronouns. So one of my big challenges for this adaptation for the play was to get rid of all gender references. And in English, that's harder than you may think. But we've managed it. We've caught a couple of stray misters that were expelled from the script just last week. So it's still an ongoing weeding process. But I think that's a major change, that we are now in a climate where the notion of gender is being interrogated and questioned and opened up. The book also reflects its Cold War origin. There's definitely that going on. There's one nation called the Commensality, and it's quite easily reflective of the Soviet or Maoist communist countries.
You mentioned both the Cold War and the gender issues. How are those two interrelated in these speculative worlds?
Well, in Ursula's novel, the investigators propose that because there is no division of sex on this planet, there is none of the same patterns that lead to large armed conflict. There are still people who kill in crimes of passion on the planet of Geffen, but they've never had large-scale conflict because, as one investigator says, if everybody has the potential for pregnancy, all of the rules change.
There are also, in the original novels, issues regarding race that emerge slowly throughout the novel. Mm. So how, in a theatrical context where there's a more visual sense, how do you deal with those themes?
Well, I think in 69, Le Guin was hoping that the reader would identify with the Earthling. His name is Genli, only later to discover that this person that you've identified with in your mind is black, or at least described as very dark. I just went ahead and cast a marvelous young man who was born in Ghana. And I think the difference on stage is that immediately from the beginning, you recognize that this is going to be a play where the hero is not your standard white Marvel comic classic, as well as the other partner in that, the actor playing Estraven, the prime minister who has been disgraced and joins Genli across the glacier. That actor is of Indian heritage. So I think it's quite marvelous. These main characters we're following are not standard for the sci-fi genre.
Collaboration never means the same thing twice.
That's true.
So what did collaboration with Ursula Le Guin mean in this case?
Well, in the beginning, for the Portland Playhouse production, directed by Jonathan Walters of Hand-to-Mouth Theater, I was collaborating with Ursula, but I was also collaborating with three dramaturgs and a director and a cast. So that was a very different kind of playing field. When I wrote to Ursula, I think it was in maybe 2015, and said, I'd like to take another whack at this and do it on the Robinson stage, because I kind of wanted to know, could we do that scale for this story? Then it was just between herself and me, and via email. I don't think we ever did a phone call. We just sent notes to each other, and I would send drafts, and she would rewrite and add things. And there were revelations along the way, things that she told me she hadn't really understood when she wrote the novel that she understands now. The big one, I think, is that Estraven is the mother, or bore the child that we see at the end of the book. She didn't realize that when she wrote the novel, she says. But the collaboration has been fun, and she's so wicked smart that it was just delightful to open those emails.
How did it illuminate your thoughts regarding gender, race, conflict, to dive into this with Ursula Le Guin and all the people that you are collaborating with to produce this on stage?
Well, like I said before, I'm hopeful because some things have changed since 1969. And then I'm also disheartened because some things have not. It's unfortunate that the book is still so very relevant.
There's also another aspect of this play, which is musical, and you've collaborated with Brian McWhorter to bring music to the stage. How does that inform the play?
A long time ago, I made the decision that the mythological stories that are told throughout the novel would be treated as songs, partly because I love songs on stage. And I'm not aiming for musical theater here, but it's a way of storytelling that, for one thing, connotes old. These are old stories that are being retold. So I asked Brian if he'd be interested. He took one look at my lyrics and privately thought to himself, oh no, this is going to be hard. The lyrics are fashioned from Ursula's text, but clipped into verse-like shape. And he's done an amazing job, and the music is haunting and eerie. It's a kind of melancholy atmosphere, which I guess you should expect since the planet was nicknamed Winter by the first investigators.
If you were to continue this story beyond the bounds that Ursula Le Guin set and stopped, because stories continue past their literary endpoint, where would the story go from here?
Well, I got an insight from Ursula. I asked her via email one night after rehearsal, hey, what happens if the kingdom doesn't want these aliens? They land their ship and it just doesn't work out. And she said, oh, it's quite simple. They leave and they come back in a couple of centuries when everybody's forgotten and try again. So that's one scenario. I think the book ends with Genli befriending Estraven's child. And I believe he'll stay in that town and help raise the child. I think that's another part of the story.
What's the lasting impression that you wish the audience to be leaving with?
I hope they have the same feeling I do every time I go through the novel, of feeling kind of philosophically energized, given room to think about our local and real problems under conditions that allow for more freedom and contemplation.
This was an influential novel for you in your youth, as I understand. What made it influential then?
I was just coming to terms with being gay, and here was this book about, because all the pronouns are he, it's a love story between two he's. Now, they don't ever have sex or procreate, but nevertheless, they do love each other. And it was just an affirmation that we could even think that way. That would have been in the, oh my gosh, early 1980s. So that was the key difference. I also fell in love with her poetics. She's writing on a level that you don't often get in American literature.
And so now, 35 years later, approximately, from that kind of awakening, has the meaning of the book shifted for you?
Oh, yes, of course, because as soon as I understood that Estraven is neither he nor she, and that all of those binaries have to go away, it opens up much, much more. And when we talk about gender fluidity, and we talk about a spectrum of sexual identity, the book harnesses even greater power, I think.
Well, thank you so much for all that you're bringing to the project and for taking a few minutes to talk about it with me today.
Oh, I love talking about it. Thank you.
John B. Schmoor, working directly with author Ursula K. Le Guin to adapt her classic science fiction novel, The Left Hand of Darkness, for the stage. Their new adaptation will be debuted by University Theater at UO's Robinson Theater, opening on Friday, November 3rd, and running through Saturday, November 18th. For tickets and information, the UO Ticket Office and uoregon.edu. For an extended version of this interview, klcc.org. For KLCC, I'm Eric Allen.